When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you don't have a clear curriculum for your classroom, it is so overwhelming to try to put that together yourself. Spending hours on Pinterest and Google, pulling worksheets and pulling pieces of curriculum together to make something that works for your classroom. That's why we created the Autism Helper curriculum and now offer Curriculum Access. Curriculum Access gets you access to all levels and all subjects of the highly differentiated, evidence-based Autism Helper curriculum. You can have students working on letter identification and working on parts of speech at the same time in our easy-to-use curriculum. We currently have hundreds of teachers using Curriculum Access from all over the world with consistently rave reviews. I want you to join that group of teachers. Now is the time to ask your administrators for Curriculum Access. We have an email template ready to go so you can ask them to set up a demo. Your administrators can jump on a live call with our team members to see everything that's included in the Autism Helper Curriculum Access. Next year, let's reduce the overwhelm. Let's start the year out with a path and a plan and resources to meet all the diverse needs of your students. Let's make next year the year of Curriculum Access. Head over to the show notes to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sasha Long, special ed teacher and board certified behavior analyst. Welcome to the Autism Helper podcast. I'm here to explore different strategies to improve the lives of individuals with autism. Welcome back to the Autism Helper podcast. As always, I am so excited to share this episode with you. Today, I am chatting with Jana and Morgan, who are the team behind a new book called AAC Visualized. And in this interview, we are talking all about AAC, how to move beyond requesting, and they share so many amazing, actionable tips for how to incorporate AAC into your school day, into your home setting. I really just love their perspective and mindset on this, and I think it makes it less overwhelming and really just more exciting. Jana is an early childhood autism teacher and an AAC specialist. Morgan is a BCBA. So they bring a great set of skills to this topic, and I can't wait for you to learn from them. Let's jump in. Hi, Jana and Morgan. Thank you so much for joining me on the podcast.
Hi, thank you for having us.
We are so excited to be here. I'm like a big fan and I love everything you do. Like, Pinterest is my go-to to find all things Autism Helper.
I love that. And, you know, I spent like many, many years just sitting on my couch on my blog and on Pinterest. So I'm happy that paid off.
Definitely has helped thousands of teachers.
Well, I am really excited to have you guys on today because AAC is a topic that I am always really passionate about learning more and more about. And I always feel like there's new trends and new activities and new research that we kind of, you know, need to share with our field. And I also feel like it's not talked about enough. So I'm so excited for you both to share your expertise on this topic today.
I totally agree. So I'm a BCBA. And so I work a lot with this population that we're talking about, you know, those who could benefit from AAC. But honestly, I didn't learn that much about it until like the past year when working with Jana, who is way more of an AAC expert than I am, and learning from her and collaborating for our new book. But I've been totally inspired by the overlap of like how teachers and SLPs and BCBAs can work together and all like that with that AAC can help benefit students and our shared clients. So I'm so inspired by this topic right now.
Yes. And I'm happy you brought up that like interdisciplinary collaborative relationship because that's what our kids need. And like sometimes, you know, different fields get a bad rap for not playing nice in sandbox with others. Not naming names.
You say that so politely. Yes.
But yeah, it's like exciting to have, you know, a BCBA as well. That's like, okay, like we need to be talking about this more. And same, Morgan, like I knew a lot about AAC as a teacher. Like I was a teacher first, BCBA second. But in grad school, you don't really learn about this, you know? So it's exciting to have more and more clinicians and teachers sharing and talking on their platforms and in books and all that, all of the important reasons why we need to incorporate this and then how to.
Mm-hmm. I think the how is really important.
Yeah. And that's what everyone's getting today. So let's kind of, you know, the struggle, and this is, I think, why I'm always passionate about learning about it too, is when I was a classroom teacher, I struggled with how to incorporate our devices in a meaningful way, especially our high-tech ones. And I know that that's not just me. That's a common struggle. What is kind of the biggest challenge to incorporating AAC into the school or the home setting?
I think exactly what you said, not really knowing how to incorporate it, when to use AAC, when to model it, and then even what to model. Like once maybe you've set up your high-tech device or connected it to a smart board, or you have your big printed core boards around the classroom, and then it's kind of like, what am I supposed to be actually modeling now, or how do I incorporate this into our daily classroom routines and our culture? So I like to call my classroom like an AAC immersion classroom. Just like there's dual immersion, it's really a cultural thing that everyone is doing and everyone's getting and everyone participates in. So it's really the how, when, and what to model is kind of a barrier in the beginning stages of using AAC.
Oh my God, I love that, an AAC immersion classroom. That's amazing. And that,
I wish that touches everyone can see videos of Jana's classroom. I was so inspired when I saw all of how she's just incorporating with everything. And not all of her students are using AAC, but they all are. Mm-hmm. It's just benefiting. It's totally a normalized thing in her classroom that you can just communicate all different ways. So she's really, you know, being a model for how teachers can incorporate it. But I want to add in, I work a lot also with families, and like teachers, families are really busy and overwhelmed. And even just kind of suggesting like one extra thing to do can be overwhelming. And we wanted to kind of give a specific tip here of just starting small. So even if you're just starting by picking one or two words that you want to focus on teaching, that's fine. And just really showing how that word can be used throughout the day in different activities, and the versatility and the power of that one word or two words. And then over time, building that up and building that language. And so it's okay to just start small and don't feel like you have to take everything you're seeing about AAC and apply it on day one, because that can feel like really a lot and be pretty defeating right away.
I think that was kind of my struggle as well, because I was like, it has to be included in everything. And that's like advice I give now, like it's embedded into your day, this is your child's voice. But then I also at the same time am saying what you're saying, like, but start small. And it's like, well, you can't do both. And I think that that's where the struggle is, of kind of like, you know, letting yourself have those baby steps of like, let's be successful with this piece. And like, that's not where we're stopping, but that's where we're starting, just to get successful with everything.
Yes. And I learned this from Jana, this like doing like word of the week. And so you can pick a core word. And so like a word that has a lot of versatility. So like the word like, or help, or go, and stop if you want to do opposites. And then everyone is just doing modeling on the AAC system like throughout the whole day. And then over time, you can really build up and continue to add on to more and more of these words. And so even just saying like to just pick one word to start, or just starting with one activity. So picking one part of the day that you're really going to focus on modeling AAC. And I think that helps teachers and families not feel like that they're not doing as much as they can when you give them a more reasonable place to start off.
Yeah, exactly. It's not like, oh, try to like do this all day. It's like just one thing. And actually, can you give a little, because I think just to make sure everyone, you know, there's all these new new concepts too in the last 5-10 years. Can you give a little background on really what core vocabulary is and why it's important to teach and how maybe that's different than how we were taught to teach communication and requesting and language maybe 10-15 years ago?
Yes. So core words are the words that we use about 80% of the time. So when we're having everyday conversation, like just now I counted in my head, you said the word like twice in one sentence. I'm like, oh, two core words right there. So these are the words that we use all day, every day in very conversational ways. They're also words that, you know, when we're developing language are some of our first words that we learn. Also, when you think of like, there are like high frequency words. So when we think about kindergarten spelling words, a lot of those core words are also these high frequency words. So there were words like Maureen was saying that are very, very versatile. You can use the word like or go throughout your day so many times. Like, we're gonna go to recess, we're gonna go line up, go sit down at circle time, it's time for lunch, go eat. So just using that one word and focusing and starting there, starting small and modeling that word go. So every time a staff member, the teacher says go, we're gonna, I call it the point and say strategy. You're gonna point to the word go and you're gonna say go eat, go sit, and just really focusing on these words. So there's a specific list of core words, like if you just Google it, usually like the top 100 core words, those are the words you really want to focus on. And that is kind of a shift and a trend that is happening, I would say, more recently, whereas before maybe we were heavier on PECs, picture communication exchange, where we were starting out with words that are favorite things, nouns like bubbles and juice and cookie and chip. And now there's kind of been a shift away from starting with those very specific nouns to more core words, more of those versatile words. And I remember even printing out like core boards, and my core boards were filled with nouns, puzzle and, you know, blocks and Legos and bubbles. And now when I'm printing core boards, 80% of those words are going to be those core words. And then maybe a couple of fringe words if it's for a specific activity, like at the bottom.
How have you seen the shift from going to more of that, like, you know, noun specific and those like preferred items, like teaching that as like those first words to the idea of core? How have you seen that with your students and your caseload on the success of language development communication?
Yes. So I see when I'm teaching at snack time, when we're doing traditional like man training and we're sitting down at snack time, instead of teaching Oreo and juice, I'm teaching eat, like, good, more, have, and really avoiding specific nouns, specific, we call them fringe words. And then we're seeing generalization happening a lot faster with those words at circle time or at center time. Sometimes for students, especially my very young, my 3-year-olds, it is a little easier to start with those fringe words. And that's okay too, but I always have my staff pair it with a core word. Eat Oreo, get Oreo, like Oreo, have Oreo, that Oreo, things like that. So if it is, if we are going to start with those specific words for our very young learners, I always encourage pairing it with a core word.
And I think one of the the things that's really happening with this shift towards more core language, like Jana is describing, is also a shift away from focusing only on requesting for those, well, for everyone, but also especially those who are just learning AAC. So in the example that Jana was saying at snack, the student can only request Oreo, juice, if you're just getting using the PECs, how it was established. Whereas if you're using the core words, you can make comments, you can ask questions, you can say, I like it, I don't like it. And you're really having more and more exposure to different types of communication. And so I love that because the students are getting more immersion to different ways to communicate and the power of language besides just requesting.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, that's a great point. You know, when I and kind of what you're all saying is kind of what I saw too, that when you think about it, it makes sense. Like if you can teach the word eat, you know, or more or go, there's so many more uses than the word Oreo, you know, like and it's gonna be so much more functional in the long run. And you know, I was thinking about as you're talking about mentioning PECs, and you know, I went through the whole PECs mm-hmm. training many, many moons mm-hmm. ago. And the idea of being stuck at requesting, I definitely saw frequently. Because when I would try to move away and go more to commenting and questions, to me that PECs book was such a cue for requesting that like when mm-hmm. I tried to do anything else with that book, mm-hmm. it was like, well, where's my cookie? You know what I mean? Like yes. this book is my way to get my cookie. And yes. and so we kind of got stuck a little bit. So do you see that yeah. happen as well?
Yeah, I don't want to like hate on requesting because
yeah, no, same.
It's
just more
of- It's obviously really, really an important part of communication, but just that it's not the only part of communication. And the reason why teaching requesting is so important, often some of the first skills that we do teach, especially in ABA, is because requesting is usually a replacement for a challenging behavior. And so if the student is having a lot of tantrums or aggression or whatever that is because they can't communicate their needs, by giving them the better way to communicate that, by teaching them to request, will make their challenging behaviors decrease, which is better, great for everyone. But we're also giving them really powerful communication and teaching them, like, when you say this, you can get what you need, you can get what you want. And then kind of expanding on from there to teach other types of communication. So that's the rationale. Also, there's a lot of motivation in place when someone's requesting something, to request for a break, to request for Oreos. There's a lot of motivation, and sometimes just starting to communicate whatever form that is can be hard. And so that's why requesting is often chosen as some of the first skills to teach within the communication. But there is that more shift now to if you're teaching requests, to also be modeling all the other types of communication as well. So it's more of just a part of the communication we're teaching.
Yeah, that's a great way to think about it, to kind of start that next step. And also not just ending, you know, once we've established a strong repertoire of requesting, what's that next step look like? And we're kind of, if we're modeling it already, we're maybe already mm-hmm. on the way there, ideally.
Yes, exactly.
So mm-hmm. what are some activities that help set up, you know, this kind of process of even going beyond requesting? Because I think we're all kind of maybe more familiar with, oh, these are great activities that will, you know, evoke some communication, and, you know, snack time is going to be great, or playtime. Mm-hmm. But what are some other activities that can encourage more communication, especially beyond requesting?
I think books, yeah, books and songs and music, those are the two ways at circle time that I can really model a lot of language. So in my classroom on our Promethean board or smart board, and I know some teachers don't have them, probably a lot of teachers, but I will split the screen. So on the right side, it will have our favorite song, our favorite story up there. And then on the right side, we'll have an iPad that's connected, that's mirrored, that I'm able to model the language on. And songs are great because, you know, kids love them. And so they're just sitting there and they don't even know that they're being modeled to. Like, I'm doing it for my AAC users in my classroom, but it's really benefiting all of my students because it's a visual language and all of my students are benefiting from having this visual language that's playing side by side with the music. And then with books, I know there's a lot of books like Brown Bear, What Do You See, with a lot of repetition. So using repetition to model those words. So in Brown Bear, I might focus on, you know, the word see or what and see, what do you see? I might focus on colors when I'm modeling. I might focus on the animals when I'm modeling. But using songs and books so that it's not just request, request, request. I'm commenting, I'm leaving out maybe the last word, what do you, and then I'll say it verbally, what do you, and then I'll activate see. And a lot of my students will imitate after the AAC device and fill in that blank as like a little prompt for them.
And it was amazing. The cutest thing in Jana's classroom. So some of her students do have AC devices, some don't. You could just give some of them like a paper core board, but she hooks up the device and the smart board just for one student, but they all think they're controlling it. And so they're all taking it very seriously on like who's pressing which one to kind of continue on with the song. And these are like 3 and 4 year olds. And so building it into an activity where now the communication has made the activity more fun. So it's thinking about what activities are they already enjoying and how can you just add in language into that. And so it's making the activity even more fun, and it's not like it's time to do AAC, like it's work. And so that the circle time, if you were working with the younger kids, is a great time to add it in because it's so routine and it's repetitive, and they will just naturally start joining in.
I love that tip of splitting the screen on your smart board. I mean, that's brilliant. My gosh. You know, you've both mentioned quite a bit modeling. And for, you know, those listeners that are maybe newer to AAC or kind of trying to visualize what that would look like, can you kind of maybe explain some situations on what modeling would look like and how like a teacher or a parent would do it, but also why that strategy is really important and effective?
For the why, when we think of AAC, we see it as a full, complete, sometimes you hear the word robust, it is a full language. So we act as if we were teaching another completely different language to our students, as in like French or Japanese. We are teaching AAC as a language, and they could have different languages depending on the communication app that you're using. And you can kind of get specific if you have like a majority of students on a specific app, that's the app that you're going to model or you're going to point and say throughout the day. But when we think about it, we don't expect babies to start speaking immediately as soon as they're born. They are getting a year and a half, sometimes 2 years of input. They're hearing everyone around them speak to them and they're seeing it on TV and story time. They're getting all of this language that comes in before we even ask them to say their first words. And yet for an AAC user, as soon as we give them and hand the device over to them or the core board, there's an expectation that they're going to know how to use it and how to speak back to us. But there is some research that says if an AAC user gets only 20 to 30 minutes of speech every week, it would take 84 years to get the same amount of language exposure as an 18-month-old.
Oh my gosh.
So when we put it into that context and that perspective of we have to use AAC to teach AAC. They need that experience through modeling. Through us as the adults in their life, showing them when I want to eat something, I can come and say, eat Oreo. That the adults need to be giving them that input in this visual language with AAC.
My gosh, that was explained so well. I just want to like take a 2-minute little thing and like send it to everyone. Awesome. No, thank you. And then
And then so when you're saying modeling, so if you're sitting with a kid and they want Oreo, you're meaning like you're taking their iPad and you're putting it in there, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I'm saying eat Oreo. I like to not do I want phrases or more, because those two in my class, like after years of doing it, once we teach more or I want blank, they are like the keys. Like I've given the keys to the castle and they just have to press more and they're going to get more of it. So I like to hold off on teaching both of those, but exactly. Say we're at circle time and they're having Oreos. I'm modeling eat Oreo, get Oreo, like Oreo. And every time I'm modeling it, I'm giving them an Oreo. The other piece is we do what's called an expected pause. And so like I'm modeling it a couple of times and then I'm just going to wait before I hit eat or Oreo. And usually they go for Oreo because they know like that's the quickest way. So maybe their first attempt, they're going to go straight for Oreo and that's fine. And we give a big celebration for that. So when we say modeling, all that looks like is pointing and saying while we're speaking. You're going to highlight those key words or those key nouns while you're just doing your regular speech. Like, it's time to eat. Hit eat as I'm saying eat. Let's go outside. I'm going to hit go as we go outside. So modeling is just point and say.
Yeah, and I think sometimes people just get nervous on what that means. You know, like you both mentioned at the start, that big challenge of how to incorporate it. It's like we have all this stuff, but now what do I do with it? And I was actually talking to a teacher a few weeks ago that they printed out, you know, those big wall-sized core boards for all of the life skills classrooms. She's like, this is great, but I don't know what to do with it. I was like, that's a really good point. It's like this school district probably spent a lot of money on these core boards and then didn't give the training on what to do with it.
And that's where it goes back to that, what we were talking about at the beginning of starting small and just picking. I think the word of the week strategy would be really something easy to just implement. You can talk about it with your team. You know, what do we want our word of the week to be? SLP would be a great person to share insight on how you pick that word. And then it feels so much less intimidating. So you don't have this huge poster of 25 symbols and now you're just focusing on one and just showing how that one word can be used throughout the whole day. And with that, it also makes it easier for the students because they're also not going to be overwhelmed with, like how Jana was saying, you're expecting me to all of a sudden use all of these buttons and icons to communicate. So it's easier for the AAC supporters, the parents and the teachers and the paraprofessionals, as well as the students to just start small. And if you're picking buttons from the core board, that's a good place to start, but definitely the SLP can help make that decision on what starting small looks like for the individual learner.
That's a great point. It's overwhelming for the kids as well. Like I think even, you know, from a sensory perspective, visually, that like huge core board or like even their small one or how many, you know, pictures are on your device. Yeah, if that was in another language, that would be really overwhelming for me, like as an adult.
Exactly.
And you're mentioning, you know, getting your team on board too with, you know, the idea of the word of the week would be a great way to kind of have everyone be consistent. And, you know, thinking of so many teachers that have paraprofessionals in the classroom and special teachers and grade level teachers, what tips do you have for getting them on board with this? And I love how you've both been, the way you've both been talking about AAC really does require a mindset shift, which is great. I think we need to have the idea that this is another language and this is something that we want to incorporate. We can't hand, you know, a device to a child and be like, there you go, you're good, right? So how can we kind of explain this to our team and get our team on board with utilizing these strategies?
I love this question and I have like a sneaky way of doing it. So
I love a sneaky way. I can't wait.
Okay, good. Yes. It starts off with, you know, you as the lead of of your classroom and just the excitement you have while you're doing all of your modeling. And then slowly as the students start picking up and start using their systems and being independent and the excitement that everyone feels the first time they're able to say Oreo or the first time they're able to say go or up and down and the excitement that comes from that, you just keep that momentum and that excitement going. But my little sneaky trick is in the beginning, I have like this whole year plan for this. So in the beginning, at circle time, I'm doing all of the modeling myself. So as I'm doing songs and books and calendar, I'm doing all of the modeling. Then within like the first like 3 months of school, I'll start making like little excuses, like the phone rings. Oh, let me take this call and I'll hand the iPad to one of my paraprofessionals who has seen me model and knows exactly what core words we use at this song or exactly what core words we use during, you know, calendar, things like that. So they, when I'm modeling, I'm also modeling for the paraprofessionals, for the support staff in the classroom. They don't know that, of course, what they do now, but that's my segues. So then, I need to go, you know, talk to the principal. I'll be right back. And so I just start handing the iPad to different staff members who sit behind circle time traditionally. So they sit up at my like little teacher chair and they're in charge of now running the iPad and, you know, playing the songs and reading the stories. And so about 3 to 5, 6 months, now my paraprofessionals, maybe from the back behind, supporting a student from behind, is now doing the modeling for me while I'm doing the hand motions and the singing in the front. Then about 6, 7 months of the, towards the ending of the school year, then my students' iPads, after they've gotten all of this language input with this, you know, repetitive songs and stories and books, now they're controlling my circle time from their little cube chair with their iPad. And I've had maybe 2 years ago where I had like 4 students all on devices, and they, like Morgan was saying, they didn't know which one was connected to it. And they all thought that they were now the circle time helper and running circle time from their little cube chair and their iPad. So that's kind of my sneaky way. I've never sat all of my staff down. This is what AAC means. This is how we use it. This is how we model this. You know, it's much more organic when it is an immersion, AAC immersion classroom. It's just part of the classroom and the culture and the norm of the class. And that's how I get, you know, my paraprofessionals, my team on board.
Oh my gosh. And I think that,
like, Jana's, you know, all of those ideas are really show how to kind of seamlessly add that collaboration and support in the classroom. But something else that's a passion for Jana and I is the team is not just ending in the classroom, it's also including all the different service providers, the parents, the caregivers, grandparents, everyone is part of this AAC support team. And that's something that was really one of the main inspirations for our book that we are coming out with in October for AAC Awareness Month. But it is that it's AAC is really, it's a team effort, and having that collaboration between everyone, having the everyone is working on the same system, the same words, the same targets. We can't have one person be doing PECs, one person really focusing on vocal, another person teaching sign language and AC devices. That becomes very confusing for the students and the families and the teachers. So in our book, we've put together all these different kind of templates and tools. I think, Sasha, you would be proud of us.
Oh my God, I'm like, templates and tools? That sounds amazing.
Yes, for collaboration to make all of this easier for the team. Training plans and like little templates to help guide that collaborative practice, as well as the strategies we've been talking about. We visualized all of them to hopefully make this AAC knowledge more accessible to the parents and families that really want to advocate and support their AAC users.
That's so exciting. I want to hear more about your book. I love that you are working on something that can help everyone get on the same page.
Yes, we're so excited about it. It's called AAC Visualized because we have visualized all the strategies for how we can first introduce AAC and then how you can help your AAC user really expand their communication and become more and more independent across lots of different skills. So not just requesting like we've talked about, but way more skills that include things like making comments, social comments, asking and answering questions. But it's really kind of a guide from start, like everyone who's just starting off with AAC, like what is it? What are the types who can benefit, but it's really meant to be a way to empower families to have the information about what AAC could look like and the benefits of it and what that whole process is going to look like and all of the communication that can really come out of incorporating AAC in your life.
Oh my gosh, that is so needed because I know that can be so overwhelming as a parent starting that process and to have kind of literally a guidebook will be very helpful.
Mm-hmm. One of my favorite like two-page spread of that is how to even get an AAC assessment. Like sometimes families know that their child would benefit and would want one, but they don't even know how to begin. Like where do I go to get an assessment? Who pays for it? How do I get it funded? So there's a one-page or two-page spread that we worked really hard on with our speech-language pathologist who lays out in a visual way the steps and the different options for funding and just how someone can go about getting an AAC assessment and device. Like that's like the first hurdle a lot of families encounter is not even knowing where to start. And there's so many like loops and hoops and that they have to jump through with insurance and school and just really a nice infographic of how do I even get an AAC assessment? I think that's probably one of my favorite two pages in the book.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting. Well, we will link your website in the show notes so everyone can go get that when it comes out. Where else can people go to learn more from you, both of you?
I have an Instagram. It's aaac.and.me. So I have videos from my classroom and me up at my smart board modeling and just lots of tips and tricks from my own classroom and my experience.
And my Instagram is ABA Visualized. That was our first book that we came out with. And so AAC Visualized is the second book, the second kind of iteration of teaching kind of expertise in an approachable way through visuals. So that's what is on my Instagram as well, is kind of taking those behavioral concepts and turning them into really just relatable visuals to give that expertise more in the hands of the people who need it.
Awesome. Well, I will link both of your Instagram profiles in our show notes as well. And I love both of their Instagram profiles. That's where I found them and asked them to join me on the podcast. So thank you both so much. I could like chat about this, you know, all night, but I won't. So thank you both so much for sharing your expertise and your perspective. I think this was so helpful for teachers or clinicians, you know, that are newer to this and hopefully parents as well. So I so appreciate you guys both taking the time to share tonight.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for listening to the Autism Helper podcast. If you liked what you heard and want to hear more, hit subscribe. It would mean a lot to me if you left some feedback. Whether I'm working one-on-one with a student, doing a podcast like this one, or presenting for a PD, my goal is always to provide as much value as I can. So your feedback really helps me make sure I'm doing just that. If you have other topics you'd like me to cover, leave in the feedback or message me on social media. You can follow me at The Autism Helper on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Pinterest, or visit my website, theautismhelper.com. Thanks again for listening.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Having the right resources for your classroom is essential to making sure your classroom is running smoothly. At the Autism Helper Shop, we have all of the resources you need to make sure you have the behavior, communication, and curriculum supports for your students. Within our shop, we have adapted books, task cards, resources aligned to the VBMAP and the ABLES, behavior plan flowcharts, data sheets, curriculum. Everything you need, whether you are an early childhood teacher or a high school teacher, we have all of the resources that will meet those students' needs. So head over to shop.theautismhelper.com to check out all of our resources.